Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
It's time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
Confusing when people listen to it. I never knew what the heck it meant. It starts with the little boy. Look, Mommy, there's an airplane up in the sky.
And Chad P.
I liked this a lot better when I didn't know the story. This is depressing.
We're not done yet. It gets worse.
Class is in.
This is Rock School for a lovely afternoon. My name is Joe Burns. You are?
I am Chad P.
Now, let us tell you about something we want you to help us with. This radio station, the flagship station of this, the Rock School Radio Network, is KSLU. And we have, once a year, our KSLU fund drive.
That's right.
Tell us all about it there, Chad P.
Well, this year it's going to be March 15th through the 21st, and the annual fund drive is the opportunity for all of the listeners that listen, whether it be on the radio or on the interweb, to pledge their financial support to us so that we can continue offering great programming like
Rock School.
No matter where you're listening from, whether it be on an affiliate station, it doesn't matter. In order for us to continue producing these great programs, we need your money.
Now, here's how Rock School wants to help. We offer to you the ability to buy the show.
For sale, one radio show.
That's right. If you wish to have the show, you can. This radio station sits on the dial at 90.9.
So?
For $90.90.
Get it?
For $90.90, you can buy Rock School
during
the week of March 15th through the 21st. Now, what do you get for your $90.90?
You get the show.
Yeah. You get to pick the topic.
Yep.
We will help with the music. You can't tell us what music to play. That would be payola. So you pick the topic. We will research it. We will help out with the music, and we will do the show. And if you want, you can even come on with us.
That's right. That's
oh,
right.
Yeah.
Doc, let's expound into that a little bit. Now,
okay.
I'm a radio guy. I know what payola is.
Yes.
You may have someone in the audience saying, hey, that sounds like a really good deal, but I want to do the music, man. What's all this payola?
If you tell us what to play and then give us music or give us money to play the music,
can't do that.
That's illegal.
That's a very, very big no-no.
Right. So you can tell us the topic, but we got to pick the music.
Well, we work for you. We do the research. We come up with the music. And like I said, if you want to come into the studio, come on down. This show will air on KSLU on March 19th. It will be your show.
There you go.
You can contact us on the telephone at 549-2330, area code 985. 549-2330, or on our Rock School feedback email, KSLURockSchool@gmail.com. KSLURockSchool@gmail.com. Email us and say, I want to buy the show.
And it's first contact, first pay.
Yeah, we need the money.
Right. Now, if you want to hear that again, we're going to run promos during our breaks. So that'll be the last time we'll talk about it. What are we discussing today?
What?
Pink Floyd, The Wall.
Oh, I love Pink Floyd.
Everybody knows The Wall. They know some of the songs in it. But do you know the story? Do you know the actual story behind the rock opera, The Wall? What I did was went out onto the interweb, as you called it, and began looking around, and I found an interview with Tommy Vance and Roger Waters where he, Roger Waters, described every single song, what the song means, and what it does to describe the entire rock opera, The Wall.
Wow.
At the end of this hour, you will have heard some great music from The Wall, and you will know the entire story, including what some of the real odd songs mean. You ready to go?
Yes, I am.
The Wall came from Roger Waters becoming less and less interested in having contact with his audience.
Hmm.
He actually, during the Animals tour, spat on an audience member.
You can't do that.
Honest to goodness. He wanted to put a wall between him and the audience.
So it's a literal wall.
Literal wall. Thus, the topic. Let's go to the first song. It's called In the Flesh. Why In the Flesh? What the song does, according to Waters, this is not according to me, it sets up what the character has become in the end. This is a full circle idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's a reference back to the 1977 tour, which was called Pink Floyd In the Flesh. It also creates the concept of the musical theme you're going to hear throughout the remainder of the album.
So it's kind of like a movie where you see the end result, and
right.
then 5 minutes into it, you flash back 10 years earlier.
Well, many more years than that, because
okay.
we got to get this guy Pink all the way through his life.
Wow.
This is In the Flesh. It starts the album The Wall on Rock School. This is Rock School as we talk about The Wall. We can't play every song. That's In the
Man.
Flesh. It
Golly.
Opens it up. What's the plane crash for? Well, it comes from Roger Waters, who, by the way, lost his own father in World War II. The Thin Ice is the next song. The start of the song introduces you to Pink. You hear a baby cry. Pink is the main character, the main protagonist of the story. Pink's father dies in a plane crash in the war. That's what you hear going into the song at the end of In the Flesh.
Okay.
It immediately then goes into Another Brick in the Wall, Part 1. This is young Pink's question to his father. The question, where am I? What's happening? It's also Pink's first realization that he is starting to build up a wall around himself.
Okay.
The next song is one we're going to play, The Happiest Days of Our Lives. This is normally played going right into the famous Another Brick into the Wall, Part 2. Now, what does it mean? According to Waters, this is from his interview with Tommy Vance, it's often seen as a complete condemnation of school. Rogers says no. He says there are many very good teachers out there. However, he didn't have many of them. Many of them are out there just to put the kids down, to treat them badly, to get them just to sit still. There's no encouragement. Shut up. Learn what you have to learn. Keep quiet. Keep still. Crush them into the right shape. Go to university and, quote, do well.
Do well.
Creativity is crushed. It's an interesting that he called it The Happiest Days of Our Lives, going into Another Brick in the Wall. This is basically the beginning of Pink's concept that he needs no one. What he needs is to isolate himself from everyone.
Oh.
This is The Happiest Days of Our Lives, going right into Another Brick in the Wall, Part 2, Rock School. Stand still, laddie. He's going to get a whipping. By the way, when he says, if you don't eat your meat, you can't have any pudding, in England, pudding meant any dessert.
Dessert?
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean just that concept. Now, there's one more song at the end of side one called Mother. Now, what does Mother mean? According to Roger Waters, again, with his interview with Tommy Vance, it means overprotection by mothers. It sounds like he's running to his mother for protection. He is. And according to the song, he shouldn't be doing that. The mother should not have been overprotective. At the end of this hour, I'm going to try to finish with the song, The Trial.
Mm-hmm.
And the mother screams, babe, let me hold you in my arms. Let me protect you. That kind of thing. My Lord, I never wanted him to get in any trouble. And what he's saying in the song, Mother, is that there's a protective level, but to be overprotective as a mother is to do harm to your child.
I see.
Or so he says in the song. We move on to side two of disc one, if you're doing this with the vinyl, Goodbye Blue Sky. Confusing when people listen to it. I never knew what the heck it meant. It starts with the little boy, look, mommy, there's an airplane up in the sky. According to Roger Waters, it simply means a recap of side one.
Oh.
This is Goodbye Blue Sky on Rock School.
Look, mommy, there's an airplane up in the sky.
Thank you. There's Goodbye Blue Sky, According to Waters, a recap of side one. The next song is called Empty Spaces, and when people listen to it, they kind of go, empty spaces, what does it mean? Because there's this question in it, well, what shall we do now? Interestingly enough, the song was supposed to be titled What Shall We Do Now, as Rock School talks about the wall and the story behind it. It was explained that way by Waters when he talked to Tommy Vance on the BBC. He said why it was changed is because it filled an empty space in the actual play. But the song itself was called What Shall We Do Now. The concept of this little two-minute blip called Empty Spaces is that Pink, the protagonist, is now a man and will soon be doing man things, sort of that 18, 19-year-old, well, what am I doing? I mean, I'm now a man. What am I supposed to do?
Wandering around.
Yeah. I got to do man things.
Right.
And if you know the album, you know the next song, and you know what Pink does. We'll play it after the break. Hello, KLSU.
Oh, you're such a tease. Oh, look at you.
Hello, KLSU. Who else?
WESU, Middletown, Connecticut.
Thank you for running Rock School. Back in a minute, Rock School. This is Rock School, as we talk about Pink Floyd's The Wall. I'm sure you know some of the songs off of it. Do you know the story behind it? We are now past Empty Spaces. Pink is a man. What does he do? The next song, Young Lust.
What do you think he does?
Yeah, there are four songs on the album that were not written fully by Waters. This is one of them. David Gilmour gets a co-writing. Pink is now a rock star. It is meant to be, you know, the outward of any young rock and roll band on the road. Sex was something you weren't supposed to do. It was scary, but now as a rock star, it's free. It's there for the taking. And by the way, at the end of the song, you hear the effects of taking all of this free sex. It breaks up his marriage with the operator calling America, and his wife is on the, or is in bed with another man who keeps hanging up.
Wow.
That's what that's all about. Waters, Gilmour, Floyd, Young Lust, Rock School. Listen, she tries again. Hello? Turn it up a little bit.
Hello? This is United States calling. Are we reaching?
You can just see the whole thing nailing. That's Young Lust. That goes right into the song One of My Turns. Now, his marriage is gone. A groupie shows up after one of the shows. This is One of My Turns.
Okay.
His marriage is gone. It's done. He can't even relate to the groupie. She does everything she can to seduce him. You know, wanna take a shower? And all he wants to do is watch TV. And he just can't relate to her. That falls into the next song after he's, you know, screaming and yelling and, do you want to see me fly? Do you want to see me try?
Yeah.
He's right at the point where he can't take it anymore. It's either go into the wall or don't go into the wall. It's either stay in or don't. Where we go into Don't Leave Me Now, as we do Pink Floyd's The Wall on Rock School.
Thank you.
This is Rock School as we talk about The Wall and what it means. That's Don't Leave Me Now from side two of disc one. Two more songs to round out the first disc. Another Brick in the Wall, part three. According to Roger Waters, this is the point at which Pink makes the final decision to block out the world and finish building the wall. I don't need anybody. He's convincing himself that isolation is the desirable thing.
May I make a comment?
Yes, sir.
I liked this a lot better when I didn't know the story. This is depressing.
We're not done yet. It gets worse.
No.
It finishes with Goodbye, Cruel World. That's him, according to Waters, that's him going catatonic, if you'd like. The final thought, he's done. He's just curling up in a ball. He's not going to move. That's it. He's had enough. The end. We will start with disc two after we do something that's a little happy. Ladies and gentlemen, something that happened. Something that happened this week. We call it 7 days in 70 seconds. Mm. This is March 2nd through the 8th, Monday through Sunday. Do you have a music bed for me?
Yeah, I got
one. Let's see if I can get it real quick. Eric Johnson,
Cliffs of Dover.
You have Monday. Go right ahead.
All right. On Monday, March 2nd in 1983, the compact disc is launched by PolyGram.
Fantastic. You know what the first one was?
No.
Bruce Springsteen, born in the USA.
The Boss.
Yes, sir. On March 3rd, which is a Tuesday now, but back in 2003, Penguin Group announced that Madonna will write 5 illustrated children's books. Yes, I need to find out how to raise my kids from her. Go ahead.
On March 4th in 1966, John Lennon is quoted in the London Evening Standard as saying, "The Beatles are bigger than Jesus."
Oh, man. March 5th, back in 1960, Elvis Presley honorably discharged from the Army.
On March 6th in 1998, Oasis's Liam Gallagher, is it Liam?
Liam.
Liam, okay. Liam Gallagher from Oasis is charged in an Australian court after he allegedly headbutted a fan. He broke the fan's nose.
Yeah.
He was released on $10,000 bail.
Allegedly headbutted. March 7th, back in 1967, Sandra Dee receives a divorce from Bobby Darin. And then on the 8th of March, back in 1968, Bill Graham opens the famed Fillmore East in New York City, ladies and gentlemen. And that is 7 days in 70 seconds.
I want to do 7 days in 70 seconds again.
No.
I don't want to be...
We move back to the wall. This is disc two, or compact disc two. Disc two of vinyl, disc two of compact disc. Side three begins, Hey You. This is, according to Waters, this is what it means. Oh. It is Pink's one last and final cry for help. He wants one person to reach out to him, but no one does. He's screaming, Hey You, out there in the cold, help me. No one does. At the end of the song, the wall is up. Hey You, Rock School. Thank you. is Rock School as we talk about The Wall. There was a line in there where he says...
worse and worse and worse.
And the worms ate into his brain. That's a real important line, especially because on the fourth side, or at the end of the CD, there's a song called Waiting for the Worms. According to Waters, that's a theatrical term that means the expression or the feeling that happens when the drugs begin to wear off.
Oh.
When you're on stage and the drugs wear off and you're getting the feelings that are real, those are the worms showing up. I didn't make that up. That comes from Waters. When he says in there, and the worms ate into his brain, what he is saying, he's being taken over by the drugs. Mm. That's what he means by that. That song goes into Is There Anybody Out There? According to Waters, it's a mood piece.
Okay.
It was a bridge to get to the next song, Nobody Home. Pink no longer wants help at this point. He just wants to watch TV. And he begins to look back on the halcyon days. He... Roger Waters, who wrote it, looks back at his own life. Syd Barrett is denoted in there. He talks about, quote, the obligatory Hendrix perm, which is what Syd Barrett had. He says, you have to be my age, and you have to be able to go back 10 years from now to understand what the whole song's about.
Oh.
It goes into Vera. Vera is about a war movie coming on TV, and it snaps him, him being Pink, back to reality just for a little time. And he can see outside the wall, and he's looking. That goes into Bring the Boys Back Home. And all of a sudden, he begins to see what he's doing to his life. And he's, my gosh, should I be doing this? Is this really what I should be doing?
Is he having like a self-intervention?
Well, he's having a moment of clarity.
Okay.
And, oh, this is really something else. But then it's time for the show. And he's not quite got his head right. And he's not ready for the show. He needs help. He's sick. But the people that are around him don't care. Just a little pinprick, and it'll be okay. They'll make him comfortably numb.
Wow.
And the worms will eat back into his brain on Rock School. Comfortably Numb, wrapping up side three if you have the vinyl of The Wall, as we at Rock School tell you the actual story behind The Wall. Well, we're not telling it. It's what Roger Waters told a BBC interview, what each one of the songs mean. We got to take a break. When we come back, we've got 14 minutes. We're going to finish up the album, tell you how the whole thing wraps up, give you the ending. Hello to KSCL Shreveport. Thank you for running Rock School.
Hola, Radio Universidad in Salamanca, Spain.
Back in 1 minute. Rock School. This is Rock School as we talk about Pink Floyd's The Wall. We're starting side four right here. It starts with the song The Show Must Go On. It's pretty self-explanatory. He's now been shot up by his manager. Pink has, get on stage, do the show. I don't care if you're sick. These people have paid. The next song is one we're going to play. It's called In the Flesh. If you remember, In the Flesh was the name of the Pink Floyd tour that... basically, Roger Waters got upset, spat on somebody in the front row. This song, he states, is a recollection of what happened to him at that concert, and it is also where Pink goes into his head. If you've seen the movie, Pink, played by Bob Geldof, becomes a Nazi figurehead, if you will.
Yeah.
The Marching Hammers. Why Nazi? Why does he become this fascist Nazi figurehead? Because, says Waters, when these people were trying to get at him and upsetting him and he was spitting on them, he had fascist feelings towards them. He wanted to control them. Shut up. Sit down. I'm trying to do a rock show. What are you trying to do? Why do you want at me? He wanted to control them. And the way he saw his feelings was the SS, Nazi, what have you. So it's called In the Flesh because it was from the Pink Floyd tour, In the Flesh. And that's where Pink, in this play, goes into his head, In the Flesh. Rock School. Hear how it's a concert ending?
Yeah.
Spinal Tap ending.
Wow.
This rolls right into Run Like Hell, another one of the songs co-written by Gilmore. This is, at this point, all going on inside of Pink's head. He is now basically attacking the audience. He is going after them. He's in a drug-crazed state in his own head. He is a neo-Nazi, and he is basically attacking the audience for coming to see him. They, if you remember the lyrics to the song, you know, if you're taking your girlfriend out tonight, you better park the car way out of sight. He's just basically going after
them.
He's
violent, man.
Waiting for the Worms is the next song. If you remember me explaining, Waiting for the Worms is a theatrical
worms
term.
Eating in your head.
Eating into your brain. Mm-hmm. But Waiting for the Worms is actually when it starts to wear off and real feelings start taking over again. So when they're saying, waiting to pull out the, and on and on mm-hmm. and on. Mm-hmm. When the worms are gone, it goes into the song, Stop. Now the drugs have worn off, he's coming back to his senses, and all he can think to do at this point in time is place himself on trial. And we're going to finish with this song, The Trial. When he places himself on trial, note the name of the judge. Up will walk the prosecutor, and he'll say, "Good morning, Worm, Your Honor."
Wow.
The name of the judge is Worm. The idea is the drugs have worn off, and Waiting for the Worms, and it keeps flipping backwards and forwards to real and imagined personas, and he is prosecuted with his mother and the schoolmaster and his wife, and they all get their chance to attack him, and at the end of it, he screams, "Stop!" And the whole thing comes to an end, and it ends with a very small piece called Outside the Wall. The final words on the album are "All Alone, or in Twos, Mad Bugger's Wall." And the gentleman who was interviewing him on the BBC said, "What does that mean?" And he said, "I know, but I have no intention of even beginning to explain it."
Oh, thanks a lot.
So that wraps it up. If you've never understood what the wall meant, now you do.
Now you do.
My name is Joe Burns.
I am Chad P.
Let's watch The Trial on Rock School. Class is dismissed. Thank you.